Life's better with American Family Insurance. Because we know in making the most of your home, DIY doesn't just stand for do-it-yourself. It also means dream it yourself. And we're here to help protect the dreams you're building. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
The governing National Democratic Congress is facing an unprecedented test with a controversial move that may force several key party executives to resign their positions. The National Executive Committee has been in a tense meeting today, considering whether to force out more than half of its seven national officers, mostly elected at the last party Congress. The party has in the last few months been struggling to function at its optimum after President Mahama appointed what National Chairman Johnson Asiedu Nketiah describes as an unprecedented number of party officers into his government. Already, some government appointees who hold party positions are objecting to any move to force them out. We'll hear from the Minister for Youth and the Youth Development shortly. But first, listen. So the national chairman raised the alarm when he recently spoke to Evans Mensah.
Yeah, one of the things we are grappling with is finding ways of filling vacancies created by the appointments within the party structure.
Within the parties, this is not in government, this is not public in the public institutions. This is the party.
Within the party structure, that is, people having been, if you like, poached from party to government, and so you have to find replacement. So it is so unprecedented. In the past, you have a few of them, and there are processes within the constitution that can be applied to fill those vacancies. Now, this year is unprecedented in the sense that our rules may require that if the National Youth Organizer, for instance, is appointed as a minister, then you push a deputy National Youth Organizer to become acting National Youth Organizer. But you have a situation where the National Youth Organizer is appointed, the Deputy National Youth Organizer is appointed, second deputy is appointed. So the youth organization at the headquarters level is completely depleted, and you need to fashion a way of getting new people to operate there. And I'm just using the youth wing as an example. There are other cases where such things exist. And so it's one of the issues we are grappling with, which very soon we'll be able to.
But some of these positions are elected positions.
Yes.
So how are you going to fix that problem?
Well, we are in the discussions yet. We'll be calling a National Executive Committee meeting to deal with that. But we have a principle, an age-old principle of one man, one position, which we have applied consistently in the past. And it reflects in the vetting for parliamentary primaries. If you are holding a party position and you present yourself to be considered for election in the parliamentary primaries, you have to resign your position in the party before you are approved to participate in the primaries. It has happened several times. So,
you're saying that you currently, because you're in government, you cannot hold a government position and hold a party position at the same time?
Not government position in a generic sense, but there are certain government positions which will occupy you full time. So you may not be able to function well as a person who is holding party position. For instance, Dr. Manibuama, who used to be, or who is still our director of elections, is now a minister for defense. how he's going to combine his work as Director of Elections and Minister of Defense.
And his deputy has also been appointed.
His deputy is also appointed. So these are things that we will be looking at in the coming weeks and be able to resolve.
The criticism from the MPP is that you should have immediately, when the government nominations came and some party executives were appointed, immediately, as a good governance measure, terminated their roles in the party so that they can focus on government. And now you have people who are party officers holding government positions, and that is not good governance. How do you respond to that?
That impacts on the running of the party, because invariably they will choose to do a state service at the detriment of the party. So if we are suffering, you know, as a party, I don't see how it concerns MPP. And so that's what we are taking steps to address.
Now, the NDC National Executive Committee, we understand, has been in a meeting on this issue, considering whether to force several of the current executives who are also serving in government out. We have the latest from that particular meeting for you, Shirley. But first, how many party executives may be affected? My colleague, Caleb Zibling, with the research desk, joins me with this. Caleb, what do we know?
Yes, so we have a total of 16 NDC executives who have either been appointed into various roles in the current NDC government.
Okay.
And to break it down, we have seven of them as national executives. So seven national executives have currently been appointed by the NDC government. We have five appointed executives, appointed NDC executives appointed into the government. And we have four regional executives.
So when you say five, these are national executives?
So national, we have seven.
Seven.
And so I'm going to run you through them. Mm-hmm. We have the national chairman, Asedu Nketiah. He has been appointed the board chair of Ghana Ports and Harbor.
Okay.
Then we have Mustapha Bandi, the deputy general secretary. He is now director of operations at the presidency. We have Sami Jemfi, who is the communications officer of the party. He is now the CEO of Gold Board.
Mm-hmm.
We have Malik Basintali, the deputy communications. He is also CEO of the Youth Empowerment Agency. Then we have Hannah Bisu, the women's organizer. She's also the Mineral Development Fund administrator.
Mm.
Then we have George Opari Adu. He's now the, who is the youth organizer. He's now the youth minister. And we have Osman Ayariga. He's the deputy youth, the deputy youth organizer, who is now the CEO of the National Youth Authority. That's seven national executives in total. Mm. And then when you come down to the appointed executives, so the NDC, they have some appointed executives. These
and then
ones,
the elected ones. Okay.
Exactly.
So the ones you mentioned are the elected ones.
The elected ones.
Okay.
Yes. So we have the appointed ones, which the first one is the Director of Legal Affairs. That's Edrudi. We have Director of Legal Affairs, Edrudi Tamaklu. He's the CEO of the NPA.
Mm-hmm.
We have Omane Buama. He's the Director of Elections. He's now the Defense Minister.
Mm.
We have his deputy of his deputy Director of Elections. That's Tanko Computer.
Yeah, yeah.
Tanko Computer. He's now the CEO of GIFEC.
Mm-hmm.
We have Roger Jemfi. He was the Deputy Director of Special Duties for the NDC. He's now the Deputy Defense Minister. And we have Joshua Alabi, he's the vice chair of the National Executive Council of the NDC. He's also the board chair for Ghana Commercial Bank. Mm-hmm. Then we have the regional as well. We have four of them, at least four of them. We have the Ashanti Regional Secretary. He is now the Ashanti Regional Minister, Dr. Frank Amwakohene.
Mm-hmm.
We have the OT Regional Chairman, John Kwejo Japon. He is now the OT Regional Minister. We have James Gunu, he was the Volta Regional Secretary, and he's now the Volta Regional Minister. And lastly, we have Charles Luanga. He was the Upper West Regional Secretary, and he's now the Upper West Regional Minister.
Mm. So we also have the Western Regional Secretary, who is now the Western Regional Minister.
Yes.
Is he captured there?
Yeah, we couldn't get, okay. The list is a long list.
It's a long one.
So we have at least 16 executives from the NDC who have now been appointed into government.
Mm.
Seven of them are national executives who have been appointed.
Okay.
We have four of them appointed executives. And we have four regional executives who have now been made regional ministers.
I'm grateful to you, Caleb, for that. Well, already some government appointees who hold party positions are objecting to any move to force them out. Listen to the National Youth Organizer of the NDC, George Opariado, who is also the Minister for Youth Development and Empowerment.
This is an issue that is coming before our neck to whether we should resign or we should not resign. Evans, I have an elected mandate for 4 years. I don't believe that the work I do as Minister for Youth Development conflicts with my work as National Youth Organizer. We have sitting members of parliament who go to their constituencies every month, every week, and go and work. And also sit in as ministers. And there's been no conflict whatsoever. So if I was an MP and I was a minister, would I be conflicted? No. So if I still serve as National Youth Organizer and I am Minister of State, there is no conflict because there are two independent roles. And my work as youth organizer and my work as minister are two distinct things. It's just like being an MP and serving your constituents and also being a minister and serving the states. They are two distinct roles. If NEC comes up strongly and says that we should resign, maybe. But I remember making it very clear to them at NEC, at FEC, that it's a constitutional issue. And so we must relook at our constitution as a party. In 2009, the Honorable Haruna Idrisu was National Youth Organizer until 2010, when we went to Congress and then a new National Youth Organizer was elected in the person of Ludwig Roger.
Which year is this?
2009.
I asked that deliberately, yes. But this is a year of resetting.
Yes.
No, things have changed.
I'm saying that when we go to NEC, tomorrow we have a NEC meeting as a party, and when NEC decides that this is what should happen,
you would comply.
Of course, I'm a member of the party. I'm a law-abiding citizen, and I have so much respect for the party. It's because of the NDC. That is why you graciously hosted me in your studio. Sure. So whatever that will put the party in good stead and make the party look right in the eyes of the people, I will comply.
And why don't you take the unilateral step to do so?
Even as I contested...
Because the party is meeting... Saying, in fact, in the same chair, yeah. Asiedu Nketiah was here. I asked him that question. He was worried. About
because they are constitutional
the challenges exactly that are opposed, focus on the party, focus on the government.
Because they are constitutional issues. You see, nobody can unilaterally say A or B. My elected position is for 4 years. I'm minister today.
But on your own volition.
Tomorrow morning, if the president says he's fired me, what happens? Exactly. So.
But you accepted the job. It's an offer. You accepted to be a government.
And I'm saying, no problem. I'm saying that let's go to NEC tomorrow. I am of the opinion that this decision can only be taken by Congress.
Mm.
But if NEC, which is the second highest decision-making body, decides to take that decision, then I will have to come and define which positions should resign. Because if I am a minister, if I'm a deputy minister, if I'm a CEO, if I'm a board chair, if I'm a presidential staffer, or it's just only ministers, we need to define it clearly. Who does this decision affect? Does it affect board chairmen? Does it affect only ministers? Does it affect only presidential staffers? We need to broadly agree as a party. And I am of the opinion that it is only Congress that can come up with this. We need to amend our constitution. Because we've been here before. In 2009, we were here. So we should have used that opportunity to fix it. But there is nothing wrong. We are here today. If we have to fix it, then let's fix it now. So that tomorrow, we don't have to go back and forth again.
Well, this is the top story brought to you by Telecel Connecting Energies. And I've been joined on the line by Mustapha Gbande, who's Deputy General Secretary of the NDC, and also one who has an appointment in this government as Deputy Director of Operations at the Presidency. Mustapha, I'm grateful to you for joining us here. Now, what was the decision which was arrived at on this particular issue at NEC today?
Well, so thank you very much, and good evening to our cherished listeners. I think basically, there was no clash of ideas, but there was a deep reflective discussion into rationalizing the matter. There have been various school of thought. There are some who feel that the magnanimity of the president to have appointed large number of party executives into government is one that is positive, but our party is a war machine, and that war machine must be rationalized in a manner that will be ready, able, strong, functional enough to win election any day, any time. And so, therefore, there are others who believe that executives whose role you know, affects the effective running of the party should pave way for other persons to be appointed. And the others who believe that, well, it's just an issue of dual role. So if people can discharge their functions vis-a-vis being in government and being in party, I think we should allow it to go. Having discussed, the General Secretary and the National Chairman have listened and decided that the matter be deferred for federal consultation. Regions are supposed to go and hold these meetings with their constituencies so that by the time we convene again, there would have been enough discussion on the matter to enable us rationalize the two, in order that whilst individuals are within government helping the president to fulfill his vision and his mandate, there is also a space for us to rebuild, strengthen our party, to be ready to function as an entity any day, any time. But let me also state that I was a bit lucky. Either way, the decision doesn't affect myself.
Why?
Because according to my superior, my role is more of a liaison between the party and government in the Jubilee House. Much as I discharge my competent duties as a deputy director, I'm also there to liaise between the party and government. As much as the president is a leader of the party, there are decisions that operationally require the involvement of the party at that level. And so either ways, I am not, you know, affected. There have also been a discussion by the General Secretary and National Chairman on which category of appointees may be affected by this decision. And all of us at the meeting were very clear, and we knew the people who it was going to affect. It doesn't cover the wide range of appointments to sections of people.
So which categories are these?
It affects, for example, if you look at persons who are serving as DC, regional ministers, at the national level, ministers and CEOs, those are the category of individuals that are affected. So appointments like boards and the usual youth and employment appointments, NADMO coordinators and all of these things, in line of the discussion, are not affected. And that was the line of conversation. And so for me, I think that it's been a good discussion. It's a progressive one to the extent that the president have undertaken a novelty to strengthen and to explore the human resource competence of a party in governing a country. And so, for me, it's a good step to discuss and dispense the issues along strengthening our party at the same time.
So once we do know that some category of appointees may be affected, even though the issue has been deferred, do we know when that effectiveness of people like the DCs, the RM, the regional ministers, ministers and CEOs will be asked to probably leave their positions and focus on government business?
Well, so for example, my majority leader made a very illustrative, you know, remarks on the floor that was taken into account, which led to the deferment of this matter for further consultation. But we didn't fix time, so I'm sure that within the next few weeks or days, the regions should be able to convene the same meeting at their rooms involving constituencies to also pick their views on the matter, because, mind you, this discussion stretches up to the constituency level. So persons who will be affected at the level of the constituencies should also be given the right to make inputs into the matter. And so within the next, you know, possible reasonable days, we should be able to conclude, and based on the discretion of the National Chairman and General Secretary, we would reconvene to look into the matter. It is not to victimize or to get anybody out, but the discussion was centered around, one, making sure that people are able to serve in their capacities effectively and efficiently as government appointees, and also ensuring that the party is functioning effectively and stronger on the ground, given whatever the scenarios may be. And so that is where we are as a party.
Okay. But for people who will be asked to leave the executive and focus on government functionary, it means that you would automatically appoint people to fill their positions, right?
That is what, if we get to that bridge, that is what will be the case.
But from what I understand, it means that you will get to this bridge in the next few months, if not days.
We are getting to a bridge where we are coming back to discuss further into the issues, given the inputs that will come from the ground. The National Chairman and General Secretary made it very clear that at that point, they didn't have a particular stand on the matter. They want to depend on the discussion between individuals who will be affected, individuals who are not affected, and also the National Executive Committee meeting. At that forum, the discussion will be dispassionate and dealing with the issues as one that strengthens, like I said, the party, and one that ensures that persons who have been appointed will apply themselves to national responsibility and be able to serve in the capacity that His Excellency the President expect them to serve.
Okay.
And so we will be back to look at whether or not the scenario have been studied and the implications are revealing enough.
When are you expected back on this particular matter?
I'm looking at a month or a month and a half or two.
Okay.
We should be back. But the other school of thought that believe that we should study the matter for a year.
Okay, all right.
Time would have been close to re-electing new executives. And of course, the cap can be sealed when you are going to contest, so that the election regulation would have captured to say that if you are an appointee, then you cannot run a particular position or the other. So they are very...
I'm grateful to you, Mustapha Gbandede. He is Deputy General Secretary of the NDC. Henry Nana Bwachi is National Organizer of the MPP. He joins us on the line as well. Nana, you went for your National Delegate Conference just this weekend, and this was one of the issues that you considered. What's your position on this matter?
Thank you very much. I think the leadership of the NDC should be decisive and should be straightforward of us. Mustapha is just fumbling with grammar and then construction of or putting together some sentences and throwing it around. Look, in specifically 10th May 2017, the National Council of the MPP, I recall, issued a directive that all party officials who had been appointed at that time to governmental positions by His Excellency the President or the former President, Nana Danko Akufo-Addo, should resign from their political party roles in adherence to best practices in governance and accountability. And it is crucial to underscore that the necessity of adherence to proper and good governance practices, right, in line with constitutional and legal provisions, must guide conduct of public officers. Because let's consider Section 2 of the Public Service Act, the Public Service Act, Act 458. This act, or this particular provision, prohibits public officers from engaging or from engaging in any business or holding any other positions that might undermine their impartiality and efficiency in their conduct, especially when they occupy such official positions. And this is clear. Look, we recall that when we were in power at that time, there were quite a number of people who resigned. I recall that Peter Meru, Archibald Lecha, those times, Utiku Afita Japa, who was the national woman organizer, he had been appointed as a minister. Aminatan Khan, Lashiti, and even the current general secretary, he was then the Ashanti regional youth organizer. He had received an appointment to be the head of Youth Employment Agency, and he had to resign. In fact, including his deputy, Alhaji Pachin, they all resigned. When I was the deputy executive director, National Service Secretariat, and I was elected the National Youth Organizer in 2018, I resigned a month after. So they must be decisive. Look, it is not proper that you have a host of NDC guys who are holding their political positions or their political party positions, and then we are still in government. They are hosted ministers.
So you agree with the chairman that these people should resign their position?
As soon as possible.
Okay, I'm grateful to you, Henry Nana Boache. Let me bring in Dr. John Osai Kwapon, who is Democracy and Development Fellow at CDD Ghana. Doc, you've been a follower of Ghana's politics and governance over these years. Where do you stand on this debate? Hello, Doc. Okay. Okay, Doc, kindly stand for me. I missed you earlier. Hello, Doc.
Yes, can you hear me?
I can hear you clearly now, yes.
Okay. Yes, so for me, I believe that you must keep party business as distinct and separate as much as you can from government business. And so crisscrossing the two as a matter of good governance practices, I have issues and challenges with. So I would like a situation where, you know, if you look at some of the things that Mr. Siedu Nketiah was trying to explain, right, that you need people who to run the party, and then you need others who would focus, you know, on government business. I don't have a problem if after an election, the elected president looks at his party and says, you know, there are people in the party that I can bring into government to help me govern. I don't have issues with that. But I think once you cross over from party into government, that for me, to be able to just focus on just doing government business and keeping the lines as separate and as distinct as possible, focus on government work and leave party then for party official, party work for party officials to do. It's a little tricky here. It is much easier to deal with those whose positions in the party were appointed, right? It's much easier to impress upon them to say, now that you are holding a ministerial, a deputy ministerial position, a CEO position, can you, quote unquote, resign and then focus on your government work. That is, I think, much easier to deal with. The more difficult proposition has to do with those who were elected. And you have to take into consideration when they were elected, how much they have left in terms of their term of office.
Okay.
And how do you reconcile that? And I think that is something that you would have to deal with beyond just a neck meeting. I think it would require some fundamental changes to the party's constitution to be able to resolve that. But overall, yes, I take the position that allow party people to focus on party work and allow government appointees to do government work. And should you cross over from party to government, the best thing for me to do then would be to leave that party role and focus on your government work.
Grateful to you, Dr. John Osai Kwapon, Democracy and Development Fellow there at CDD Ghana. This has been Top Story, brought to you by Telecel Connect. And Energy's up next. It's Newsnight.